That was one sad reading. Sad reading of men that God appointed shepherds of his sheep. And they ate the sheep and skinned them rather than feeding them and caring for them. Our Lord Jesus gives us shepherds, and he gives them a heavy work to do with distinct qualifications that are important for them to do the work that God calls them to do. Faithful men. Paul left Timothy in Ephesus to correct many problems that they had there. We saw in chapter 1 they had false teaching. In chapter 2, he tells us how we align ourselves with God's purpose of bringing all men to salvation through our prayers. And then he starts talking about the structure of the church to accomplish that. He gets to chapter 3, where we are today. Whoops. Need the next one, Brady, if you're up there. This is the one we already talked about a couple lessons ago. Chapter 3, please. Elders, as I say, and he left Timothy to set in order the things that were not correct. As he talks about the organization of the church, he gets to chapter 3. And he speaks of their problem there and their necessity to have good leaders. Paul had spoken to the elders of Ephesus in chapter 20 of verse Acts. From 17, he calls the elders of Ephesus down to Miletus. And he tells them in verse 28, take heed to yourselves and to the flock over whom the Holy Spirit has made you bishops or overseers. Shepherd the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departure, grievous wolves will enter in amongst you, not sparing the flock. But from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch ye. I don't know what happened to those elders. But years later, when Paul writes to Timothy, no doubt they didn't have him, or he needed to restructure them. So he gives instructions in chapter 3. Any congregation without an eldership is wanting, lacking. Titus 1:5, Paul tells Titus, I left you at Crete to set in order the things that are wanting in the American Standard, remaining in the ESV, or lacking in the New King James. And establish elders in every city as I have charged you. They're part of God's organization. So Paul gives Timothy qualifications in the passage today. For one that is to be a bishop or an overseer. And these are very inclusive. I'm getting behind here like I usually do. So we want to learn and understand and follow God's directive for those that are the shepherds of his flock. The lesson today is not an inspirational lesson to rile you up or make you feel good. It's a factual lesson, the word of God that we need to know. I was interested in Isaac's last song, the ancient word. Go back to the ancient word and do just what it says. These qualifications are very distinct. He said, faithful is the saying, if a man seek the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Faithful is the saying. Paul, to his letters to Timothy and to Titus, uses that statement 5 times. Usually he adds, and worthy of all acceptation. Faithful is the word, and worthy of all acceptation. Faithful is the word about eldership, their duties, their qualifications for the work God gave them. He says they seek the office. Now, I've heard people say that those that seek this office must be arrogant people. But that statement shows the ignorance of the person that made it. Because anyone that comes to Jesus and is baptized into Christ, he put that old man to death, and the new man has one desire, and that's to be pleasing to God. And his desire would be to do anything that would increase his service to God. And the greatest service that a man can perform in God's organization is to be elders, to be overseers, to shepherd the flock of God. From a child that's born, let me tell you, Cale, Grayson, several people just baptized, they need to set their eyes at a goal right now to qualify themselves to be shepherds of God's people, to be the greatest and do the greatest service to God possible. You can't qualify to be an elder overnight. You need to determine when you become a Christian to make yourselves totally available to God in any way He wants to use you, and increase in knowledge, understanding, experience, so that when you arrive at the right age, you're totally qualified. It's amazing. Places that have been Christians for years, and they say they don't have eldership because no one's qualified. What in the world are we doing, brethren? When we come to Christ, we come to give our lives to Christ, to be just like Jesus. He calls you. Them He foreknew, He foreordained. All this took place before the foundation of the world, to be conformed into the image of His Son. Listen, if we're called to be conformed to the image of His Son. That means we put away ourselves and do whatever's necessary to be just like Jesus, and to do anything to praise God. Jesus laid down His life to glorify God and to save souls. What are we doing? He seeks the office. The office of a bishop. Now, I put a bunch of Greek. For you people that don't like Greek, just close your eyes. Just read the English and forget the other. But there are several people that tell me they appreciate it because it's more meaningful. This word, the office of a bishop, in verse 1 is a feminine noun, because it's speaking about the office. This word speaks of one that oversees a work, the office of overseeing a work, the office of a bishop. This word occurs 4 times in the Bible. And the other times help us to understand the meaning. In Luke 19:44, 1 Peter 2:12, the word is used and is translated, in my translation, visitation. It's used again in Acts 1:20, where Judas is to be replaced, and it's translated office there. Somebody to take that office. But it's a visitation type thing. The verb form of this word is used twice. In Hebrews 12:15, and is translated looking carefully. He's looking carefully. It's the verb of this word. It's used in 1 Peter 5, verse 2, meaning to exercise, where he's talking straight to elders, exercising the oversight. The word properly means, by lexicon definition, it means to look upon, to inspect, to watch over, to watch for, in the verb form. That's from when we're talking about bishops. That's what they do. The noun is the one we're most familiar with, episkopos, which is used in Acts 20:28, which I already talked about. He says, take heed to yourself and over the flock whom God has made you bishops. That's this word right here, or overseers. In the very next verse in 1 Timothy, he uses the noun form. In verse 1, they're seeking the office of a bishop. In verse 2, he uses the noun form of the bishop. A bishop must be, as we'll see pretty soon. Philippians 1:1, he writes a letter to the saints, and he says in verse 1, who are with the bishops and the deacons. That's where it's used. It's used again in 1 Peter 2:25. Speaking of Jesus, he says, you are going aside as sheep, and now have returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls, the overseers. There's other names for the same office. I need to hurry. I know I'm going to be behind here. That's the word we translate elder, or in 1 Timothy 4:14 is translated presbyter. But it speaks of an older man, an elder, a senior. It's used 67 times in the New Testament. Some speaking of the office of an elder, some just talking about old people, such as Titus 2 talks about old men and how they're to behave. He uses the feminine form of the same word instead of bespuderos, it's bespuderae, which speaks of older women. So it talks about older people, people that's old, people that have experience in the word, people that have proven themselves to be faithful. There's another word, shepherd, from the word poimen. That's used in Ephesians 4:11, and he made some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Pastors there is this word right here, poimen, used 17 times. And all 17 times, all except three, are in the Gospels talking about shepherds of sheep. Here, as I mentioned in Ephesians 4:11, it's used again in Hebrews 13:20, where it says, the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd through the blood of a new covenant. That shepherd there was Jesus. It's used again in 1 Peter 2:25, which I already mentioned. We return to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. The verb poimeno means to tend. It actually means to shepherd. It's translated tend or feed often. But it's much more than feeding. people, those of us, many of us who have been raised on farms or have flocks, whether they're sheep or cows or hogs or chickens or whatever they are, you know that taking care of them is more than just feeding them. The shepherd has to take care of the flock. These three names speak of the same office. They're all three used in Acts 20, 17, where he used presbyteros, elder, 28, where he uses the episcopos, the overseer, and the poimeno, which is the pastor, the shepherd. 1 Peter 5, 1 to 3, we'll use all three of them again. There are to be a plurality of elders in every congregation. We're not going to go over those scriptures. But for every time in any congregation, there's always a plurality. Now, I'd like to quickly say something about their work, which is not in this context that we're talking about, but you need to understand their work and the heaviness of their work so you understand the necessity of their qualifications. The elder's work, of course, being a Christian, he's an evangelist. That's not even listed in his specific duties. He is a watchman. This passage I just read in Acts 20, 28, take heed to yourself and to the flock. He ends that in verse 31 by saying, therefore, watch ye. Your watchman, Hebrews 13, 17, says to obey them and have the rule over you and submit to them, for they watch in behalf of your souls as those that will give account for them. Their watchmen. If we were to go back to Ezekiel, that X should not be an X. It should be a Z. Excuse my bad typing. They're right beside each other. Ezekiel 3, 16 down through 21. God says, Ezekiel, he set him up as a watchman. If the people sin and you don't warn them, they'll die in their sins and their blood will fall on your hands. But if they sin and you warn them and they continue sinning, they'll die in their sins, but their blood won't fall in your hands. He's a watchman. He is to be watching in behalf of their souls by using the word of God. He is a shepherd of God's flock. 20:28, which I've mentioned several times, my version says, tend the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. But it's the word shepherd. Shepherd the church of God. Take heed to yourselves. Talking to elders. To the flock over whom the Holy Spirit has made you bishops. To shepherd the church of the Lord which he purchased with his own blood. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 7. Says, the elders among you I exhort, who am also a fellow elder, who am a witness of the suffering of Christ and a partaker of the glories that will follow. Tend, which means to shepherd. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, exercising the oversights. That's the episcopos. Not of constraint, but willingly, neither lording it over the charge allotted to you, but making yourself examples to the flock. They're shepherds of God's people. Those other passages are passages of where Jesus gives us illustrations of shepherd. They leave the 99 and go after the one. Heavy duty, shepherds. Every soul is so precious. He leaves the 99 and goes after the one until he finds him. Jesus tells you the extent of the shepherd. He says in John 10, 11, I am the good shepherd. And I laid down my soul laid down my life for the sheep. That's what shepherds do. As Brady just read, Ezekiel 34 tells of the pitifulness of those that don't do that. They attend the needs of individual Christians. Heavy job. It never ends. 24 hours a day. So he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, brethren, know them that labor among you. These people are laboring among us, who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. They're working amongst you to save your souls. They pray for the sick, James 5, 13 down through 16. If any man is suffering, let him pray. If any man is cheerful, let him sing praise. If any is sick, let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he sinned, he'll forgive them. Confess, therefore, your sins one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much, and it's working. They are to pray for the sick. They're to work with the sick. They're stewards of the church of God. In Titus 1:7, he will tell them there that they're stewards of the church of God. He says, for the bishop must be blameless stewards as God's stewards. A steward takes care of somebody else's possession. They're not his. Elders are stewards of God's flock. They're not their flock, but they're responsible for that flock. Paul will tell the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, he'll say, let a man so account us as ministers of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. Here, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Faithful stewards of the church of God. These men have a heavy duty. Therefore, the bishop, therefore, must be without reproach, a husband of one wife, temper, sober-minded, orderly, given to hospitalities, apt to teach. They must be. As I said before, we talk about the work because all these qualifications, they must be. The word in Greek is day, which means it is necessary, absolutely necessary. The word speaks of the logical necessity according to the binding that's necessary for the circumstances. Now, these qualifications, I'm going to run through quickly because the clock runs fastly. And I'll give you the English word, the Greek word, and what it means. These will be lexicon definitions. Without reproach. The word means he's not apprehendable. He's not arrestable. He can't be laid hold on. Now, a lot of people say, well, that knocks out everybody. No, it doesn't. We're not talking about what he did as a stupid kid. We're talking about what he's doing now, the life he's living and has been living, trying to do the best he can do for Christ. He's not to be laid a hold of. He's the husband of one wife. That word there, husband of one wife, is a one woman, man, straight from the Greek. He's a one woman man. That means he can't have multitude wives. Of course, it means he's to be married. I hear people talk about, therefore he has to be married. Yes, but that's not the purpose of that statement. The purpose of that statement is he can't have more than one wife. You got to understand, in the first generations of Christians, people come to Christ with all types of problems. Under the Jewish Old Covenant, they could have multiple wives. Solomon had 1,000 of them. David had multitudes of wives. When he committed fornication with Bathsheba, God said, if you needed more, I would have added. But all these that have multiple wives come on Pentecost, 3,000 of them baptized. How many of those do you suppose had multiple wives? A good many of them had multiple wives. They could be Christians, but they couldn't be elders. And that's the purpose of what he says right here. They came to Pentecost having had God's He didn't appreciate it, and that wasn't his purpose. But as Jesus says in Matthew 19, because of the hardness of their heart, he allowed them to put their wives away and remarry for any cause. Jesus says, in the new covenant, it's not going to be like that. They could put away their wives and remarry, and God accepted that under the old covenant because of the hardness of their heart. They came with multiple wives. Jesus said, it's not going to be that way anymore. And in America, where we grow up after generations of Judeo-Christian thinking, we think some multiple wives is strange. But those of us who have had the privilege of working on foreign fields, especially fields where they don't even believe there's a God, those people come to us with multiple wives. And what do you do with them? You baptize them into Christ. That's what you do with them if they want to be Christians. And they're responsible for those women who they have promised to take care of. In the Thai culture, a Muslim could lawfully have two wives. So if a Muslim come to me, which they have, and want to become a Christian, and if their wives want to become Christians, you baptize them into Christ. He can't be an elder, but he can be a Christian. That's what you face in first generation people, and people say, well, they got to put them all away except his first one. Listen, who was his first one when they married 10 at the same time? You have problems in other cultures that we don't seem to face too much in our American culture. We're trying to get back into the old culture, into the old heathen ways now. But anyway, they're one woman, man. They're temperate, means they're sober-minded. That strange temperate means sober-minded. Then the next word is sober-minded. He uses a lot of these words that have a lot of overlap to cover it all together. But the sober-minded speaks of being sound in mind. He's self-controlled. He's orderly person, means his demeanor is well-ordered. The base word there is cosmos. We know what cosmos is. It's the organized, created world. This man is an organized man. He's orderly, and he fulfills the task that he's supposed to do. He's given to hospitality. That word is interesting. His two words is philo, which we know is love, and xeno, which means a foreigner or a stranger. He's a lover of strangers. We translate it hospitality. He's apt to teach. The word means he's skillful in teaching. He's given to his teaching. He's able to teach. He's skillful in his teaching. He doesn't become a teacher when he becomes an elder. He has already proven he is skillful as a teacher. Jesus said of a shepherd in John 10, verse 3, speaking of the real shepherd, says the porter opens unto him, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought forth all his own, he goes before them and they follow him because they know his voice. They've been listening to him for a while. He's no brawler, no striker, but gentle, not contentious, no lover of money. He's not a brawler. That paraoinos, para is a preposition which means right along beside of, oinos is wine. Says you don't get next to wine. Leave it alone. It's not part of the Christian life. He's not a striker. He's not given to blows. He's gentle. Speaks of his gentleness, his leniency, his forbearing, his equity. He's not contentious. Without fighting, not a fighter, not contentious, no lover of money. There's another interesting word. Ah, in front of a word, makes it negative of the word that follows it, which would be philargouros. Philos, again, is love. Agouro is silver. He doesn't love silver. He's not covetousness. He's not seeking money. He rules his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. The word ruling in the first phrase and the word having in the second phrase are both present participles. They're continuous action. He is continually ruling his own house. He is continually having his children in subjection with all gravity. Ruleth means to stand before. Prohistomy. Histomy means to cause to stand. Pro means before, which puts him before the people. He is the leader, the presider. The children are being subjection. That's to put themselves in subordination under their parents with all gravity. I think of gravity as the world's pull that sucks me down and holds me here. That word, semnotes, means dignity, stateliness. It is key to the New Testament word says, after it says dignity and stateliness, it says, describes the character of the man who carries himself with a perfect blend of dignity and courtesy, independence and humility to his fellow man. That's what that word means. Having his children in subjection. Timothy 1:6 says, if any man is blameless, a husband of one wife, having children that believe, who are not accused of riot or unruling, he must be having believing children. It's a present participle. At the time he is appointed, and the time while he is a elder, he is to be having believing children. But if a man knows not, this is his explanation of that, man knows not to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? If he hasn't the ability to perform the lesser function in his own house, he certainly hasn't the ability to perform the greater function. He must prove his ability as a leader and a teacher of God's word. As I said in John 10, 3 and 4, he knows his sheep by name. Name in the Bible speaks of their character, their demeanor, their attitudes. He knows them. That's close contact. And they follow him because they know his voice. He has raised them. God will not accept you as shepherds of his flock if you aren't shepherds of your own flock. If you can't raise and train your own children to be believers that walk in that belief in their lifetime, then you can't be a shepherd of God's flock. Believers grounded in sound doctrine, walking their lives in Christ. If his children aren't believers who are under his guidance and control from birth to whenever they leave the house at 18 or 20 years old, if he can't ground them in truth so that they walk after they leave that house in faith, he's failed his children. Not all men have that capability. I'm sad to say, it's a sad, shameful truth that many men haven't the biblical knowledge to raise and ground their children. Fathers, the responsibility of raising and grounding your child in truth falls dead on us. Not on the preachers or the Bible teachers. Thank God for biblical preachers, biblical teachers. But it's not their responsibility before God. It's father's responsibility to train those kids. We need to be very thankful to gospel preachers, to teachers who teach the truth, that help us in the job that God gave us to do. How many of us fathers have daily Bible studies with our children? We spend our money, we spend our time, we spend our efforts making sure our children have a good physical education. Sending them to schools, mostly with teachers that are heathens, serving Satan, teaching evolution, teaching them to respect the LGBTQIA, teach them to respect the people who have the choice to murder their children. And if we don't offset that by biblical teaching on a daily basis, we send them, and those people are beating their eardrums with Satan's teaching. It's the father's responsibility to make sure they're grounded in truth. That'll take daily Bible studies. He's not a novice. That means he's not newly, the word means newly planted. It talks about trees being newly promised. Less being puffed up, that's an interesting word. Tufo'o, the noun of that word means smoke. He's just enveloped in smoke. So it means he's inflated himself, he's puffed up, falls into the condemnation of the devil. I wish we could talk about that, but we got to get off. I'm past my time here. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those that are without, lest he fall into the reproach and snare of the devil. Again, he must have. It is necessary. The church is not of the community, but the church is in the community. And the church in the community, if it has a terrible reputation, cannot do the work of the Lord. You can't draw people to you if they know you're dishonest, if they know your business dealings are shady, if they know you use language like the world does and you act like the world. There's no drawing card there. He has, especially the leadership, he has to have good leadership. These are their qualifications for the heavy work that God calls them to do amongst God's sheep. Responsible for God's sheep. Therefore, our duty, as I already said in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, know them that labor among you, are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember them that had the rule over you, men that spake unto you the word of God, and consider the issue of their life, imitate their faith. This lesson, not a lesson on how to become a Christian, a lesson on what you do when you're a Christian, putting yourself under an eldership that is given to watch over you as overseers, watching over. They'll give account for your souls, so give them your allegiance. Follow them. As he says in Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you. Submit unto them, for they watch in behalf of your souls as they that must give account. If you're not in Christ and know God's word and are willing to give yourself to him, we're prepared to baptize you into Christ. Get in Christ. There's nothing outside of Christ. Everything is in Christ. There is no good beyond or outside Christ. Come to Christ, be baptized into Christ, place yourself under the watchful eyes of these shepherds who watch in behalf of your souls. If there's anything that we can help you, if you need to return to the truth, as he says in 1 Peter 2:25, you have gone astray as sheep, but now have returned into the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. That's Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus now.